So how was your Saturday? I mean, we've had a really busy week here in the church, and Saturday I was not going to do much. I watched a little golf, did some honeydews, went to the grocery store, which is always a party. Really enjoyed that. But spent some time getting ready for the big day, Easter celebration. But every Saturday before Easter, I don't know about you, but I always think about the disciples, what their Saturday must have been like. I mean, can you imagine the Saturday after the crucifixion and being one of Jesus's followers? I mean, first off, when they crucified him, all the men ran away. And so they've got this shame of having run away as Jesus is crucified, and now they're all back together. And you have this overwhelming grief of the loss of their teacher, of their master. And it was the Sabbath. They couldn't even go and do some work to sort of take their minds off their grief. They kind of had to just sit around and kind of wallow in it. I mean, they had to be thinking, man, I thought he was the one. I thought he was the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Messiah that was sent to save us all. Man, I knew it was him. But it can't be. He can't be. He's dead. He's just one more would-be Messiah that is claiming to have been sent by God. Followed Jesus around as he ministered and were so faithful and did not run away when they crucified our Lord. They had this day in which they knew they had this dreadful task that they had to do the next day. And they had screwed up the courage and the desire to say, we're just going to do it first thing in the morning and we're going to get this horrible thing done. Can you imagine what that Saturday was like? You see, we live on this side of Easter. We know that the tomb is empty. They thought Jesus was dead. They thought this one that was the Messiah that they had followed around was dead. This Saturday was a Saturday with no hope in the world. None. There was no hope because the Messiah was dead and laying in a tomb. There was only grief and sorrow and despair. But then this happened. This is from the Gospel of Luke. It's the 24th chapter, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to be an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God. I want you to notice what is not in this scripture. There is not a soul that is rejoicing. There is not a soul that is happy. There is not a single person jumping up and down like I would, saying, "I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. He was coming back." They were confused. They were perplexed. And the women went and saw the empty tomb. And they came back and they told the disciples. And in our translation that we read, it says that the disciples thought this was an idle tale. Well, the Greek word that they used to describe it, that's translated as idle tale, is babbling of a mad person. So the women come back and they say the tomb is empty. And the disciples say, "Psh, these women are crazy." And that's really what the text says. They don't believe it. Then Peter goes and he looks and he was amazed. But this text does not say that he believed. Peter saw the empty tomb, saw the linen on the ground, and he walked away amazed. The truth is, our faith is a faith that requires belief. But God knows that in order for us to believe, we must be able to experience his love and his grace, to experience the living Christ. That's why just a few verses down the road from what we read, there's the whole story of the road to Emmaus. The disciples were going from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and this person starts walking with them, and it turns out it's the living Christ that is walking with them. When they saw him, when they talked with him, they believed that he was alive. God knows that for humans to be able to believe, we need to experience his grace. I mean, look at the disciples. They spent 3+ years following this guy around, doing his bidding, right? Helping him out. They watched him do miracles. Heck, they even did miracles in his name. They cast out demons in his name. They healed people in his name. They even asked Jesus if they should call down hail from the sky on this Samaritan village that did not welcome Jesus. Jesus told them 2 separate times exactly what was going to happen. In Luke 9:22, he says, "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." And then in Luke 18:32 and 33, he says, "For he will be handed over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. After they have flogged him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise." They had been told exactly what would happen, but they didn't know it. They didn't believe it. They remained perplexed and amazed. How much are we like these disciples? We know that Jesus is living, that the tomb is empty. And yet, we are amazed when Jesus shows up in our life, sometimes perplexed by what our faith means for our life. The living Christ is with us, and we doubt his presence sometimes. We are much like these disciples. I have to tell you that the story of our salvation, that the God of the universe was willing to climb into the womb of a woman and be born like one of us, to learn to walk and talk like one of us, only to be killed on a cross and then resurrected? That's a crazy story. But it is the truth. It is the truth of how your salvation came to you. It is the truth of how salvation came to our world. It is the true story of God's love for all of us, that he was willing to do and endure all these things, that he would lower himself to become like us. He did all of this to bring you hope, to bring you grace, to bring you forgiveness, to bring you everlasting life. You know, the angels asked the women, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Jesus is not dead. He is not where the disciples laid him. He is alive. And he is in your midst. He wants to be in your life. He wants to be in your heart." The angels said, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" And yet, we struggle with this. We search for hope in old habits that never worked. We seek peace in empty promises from the world about things that will make us happy. We return to dead places, old wounds, toxic relationships, lifeless religion, expecting to find life there. We find life in the living Jesus. He is not among the dead. Jesus is alive. A living Jesus means hope for the world. It means hope for resurrection in your life. Not just the gift of everlasting life, but a changed life in this lifetime. Your life can be changed by the living Jesus today. He is alive. And because he is alive, you need to take your shame and your guilt from your failures and your sin, and forgive yourself because God has forgiven you because Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive in the majesty of the mountains that he created. Jesus is alive in the vastness of the ocean. Jesus is alive in the miracle that is a child. Jesus is alive and amongst us in this very place. Jesus is even alive amongst the death and the mayhem that happens in our world. Jesus is alive, and he wants you to know the hope that comes from a living Christ. If you don't know that hope, He is calling your name. He wants you to understand the grace that he has, the love that he has for you, that you are forgiven, that you can be made whole. And if you are already walking with Jesus, he still calls your name. He wants you to walk a little closer. He wants you to understand the sanctifying grace that the Holy Spirit is working in us and on us and through us. Jesus wants you to know the promise of eternal life. That's what a living Christ means for us, is an everlasting life in the presence of God. You can see his face. Jesus is calling you. He has left an empty tomb behind, and he is alive. And he wants to share that life with you. Find it. Follow him. He has nothing but love and grace for you. Let us pray. Almighty God, what an amazing story. The tomb is empty, and you are alive. Father, we celebrate this day that there are two who are going to be baptized and welcomed into your church this day, all because you are alive. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would come, inhabit this building, inhabit this place, inhabit our hearts, that we may be more Christ-like, that we may walk with the living Christ all the days of our life. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.